if everyone is ready, I'll start the show. And the amazing thing is, even with all the stuff that I had to do ahead of time to just be here and getting everything up and running late, we're still starting earlier than we normally would.
It's only 12 minutes past the hour.
Yeah. Got another 8 minutes till dock o'clock. So,
I haven't said anything in the Slack room yet about us being live. Let me do that real quick.
I think Doc was on Mac Break Weekly this week.
Where are we slumming?
Slumming. All right. And I have textual open and there we go. All right. Sip of tea, which I had ready in plenty of time. And let me switch to gallery view and great. Okay, here we are. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and one of these days, Ewan will be back with us again, and the show will look even better and more beautiful for it. I have no doubt. Ewan, feel better soon, and we really are looking forward to when you can come back and run the show again. In the meantime, I will pretend like I can herd cats as well as you do and introduce the amazing panel we have today. And I'll just take a note from Chuck's book and work my way around my screen. And we will start with Callum. Callum, how are you today?
I'm very, very good. Another ridiculously busy week at IMM Max. I think we said a couple of shows ago, it feels like you wake up the next day and you're back on another Mac show, so which isn't a bad thing at all either. Really busy week. I'm back here again and do it all again next week. Yeah, it's good.
Awesome. Well, it's great to see you. Excellent. Truly one Thank of the you. High points of my week.
You too, definitely.
And Patrice, how are you doing?
Doing well. Today has been one of those very random Fridays, but yeah, I made it. Like, I ran to the post office like with 15 minutes to go for being here on time, which I'm obviously not, because I had to make tea. So
priorities.
No, but it was fun. Yeah, it was fine. It was a fun day. Just got a new case for my phone.
Nice. So. Nice.
Yeah. And I've been waiting for a delivery all day. And I was sitting here and it didn't go for a walk. I was like, when is the delivery driver going to show up? And as I left for the post office, I opened the door and there was my delivery.
Nice. Yeah. So at least the timing has worked out well for you today.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Awesome. And Dave, how are you doing?
Doing good. Good to be here this week. Like Callum, I've been busy work. I got some network upgrades going on tonight, so I'll be working late night tonight, but I'm here to hang out with you guys and always glad to be here.
Awesome. And Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How could I not be great with this group of people that I always enjoy getting together with every week? This is just way too much fun.
It is. It's so much fun. It ought to be illegal. And in some states, it probably is. Yeah. And I managed to pull it all together to be here, even with my my amazing mattress escapades. And for people that weren't here before the show to hear me explain what that involved, I'm not going to say anything, so you can just wonder what that really means.
But amazing mattress escapades will be Jeff's new podcast.
Yes. I think it should probably be a video podcast.
I was going to say that'd be a great title for this show, but either works, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe it's the title of the show, and that's just the lead-in to the podcast. You know how Marvel, they always have those little teaser snippets that get thrown in with a movie, and it gives you the setup for one of the other movies? maybe we've just had our own Marvel moment here where we've set up a new podcast and quite possibly criminal litigation in my future. Who knows?
Just think of this as the pilot episode of the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Pants always optional.
Now that has to be the title of your podcast.
Yeah, I think you need to trademark that.
Yeah, at least the pants at least always the tagline. At least yeah. The tagline. Amazing Matter Sex Page. Pants always optional. That's good.
You know, I'm pretty sure that pants always optional is just assumed when I show up. And yes, I understand the difference between US and UK pants, and both are equally applicable. And hey, on that fun note, first story, which is no surprise that we'll be talking about this, Apple has officially announced that the original HomePod has been discontinued and will be available while supplies last. And by the time they announced that the HomePod was officially dead, the gray, dark gray, black, whatever color you want to call it, the darker of the two HomePods,
space gray.
Space gray was already pretty much out of stock everywhere by the time Apple made the announcement. I think you can still find a few of the white ones around, but yeah, maybe by now, maybe not. And Apple said that they made this decision because they wanted to focus more on the HomePod Mini. So there we go. I've set it up. Let's run with this.
What was a bit interesting was the discussion going on Twitter about it. There were some people who bought HomePods right away, and the ones they got were really, really old, which is weird.
And yeah, like so some people got HomePods from the initial run.
Yeah, which for some people took as, the HomePod hasn't been selling at all, which is not true because I checked my HomePods and they were much, much newer than that. Like, like I had some, I bought them in 2018 and I had some 2018 models. So I don't know where that stock came from. Maybe it was stock that Apple had set aside for repairs or something. Or for exchanges?
Well, this is a single data point, but hey, why not? Let's build a whole tapestry from this one thread. One person that I know that bought a HomePod after the announcement, and they actually got I think it was a space gray after the announcement came out. Theirs was from the initial run, and they got it from a Best Buy. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but I saw others that got it directly from Apple. It was the same age. So
yeah. Okay. Well, so much strange. For that tapestry.
Yeah.
Both the ones I have are 2018. So
yeah. And I got one from Best Buy, one from B&H, and one from Apple. So it's I don't know. As I said, there must have been some stock somewhere that Apple now released, which is like the original stock. I said, maybe it was replacement models, and since nobody broke theirs, Apple never needed them, like something like that.
Yeah,
good. I just punched up Best Buy, and there's one available in a store that's an hour away from me. But other than that, all the other locations near me are out.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and that's a white, by the way.
So,
yeah,
I have an original, an OG space gray HomePod. Got it on launch day, and I have a dysfunctional relationship with it. I've been happy with it, but also disappointed. And I've been happy because it's the single best streaming music device I've ever had. But I'm disappointed because it's also basically a $350 kitchen timer for me. It does very little else. I mean, there are a couple HomeKit Siri commands that I give to it, because for some of the lighting setups that I have, it's way too complex to try and set it up through a lady, And setting it up as a HomeKit thing was like really easy. So I did that. And I have a HomePod mini, but I've never considered buying a second HomePod, which to me is kind of telling.
Jeff, I think that you may have just hit on a key point here, and we've been discussing this a lot over on my shows, that some people, and I count myself as one of them, bought the HomePod as a music device with the main idea of the voice control being, hey, S-Wady, play me track X by artist Y. And not that I haven't used it for other things, but you know, that was kind of the primary thinking. Other people seem to have bought this as an S-Wady device that just happened to have a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think there's this sharp divide between, and I've discovered this after talking to a lot of people, there's a sharp divide as to whether it's a success or failure. If you bought it as a music device, the general feeling is it's a success. If you bought it as an S-Wady device, the general feeling is maybe not so much. And so I think you have to really qualify what your expectations were before you declare whether it worked for you or not.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder how much of that is not just due to S-Lady, but also to the software in general. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, let's look at it. Apple has not done much with it. I mean, what have they done? They added Spotify support and some HomeKit stuff. That was it. Like, there were no major features. And, I mean, the hardware is amazing, but the software side was kind of disappointing, really. I mean, there are things that I wish it would do. Like, I mean, I'm in the kitchen and I get a text message and I just want it to read it to me. And I can ask it to read it to me, but it only works for text messages. If I do that with any other app, it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't even, like, if I get a Slack message, it doesn't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much that's disappointing with the HomePod that, yeah, I think there is software-wise way more to do, and they haven't done anything with it.
I agree, Patrice. The software in itself has not been the greatest. Even managing it, I mean, you have to manage it through HomeKit. You have to, it's sore kick where you want to go, because you know I like to manage this. I want to manage my device, and you know, with an iPhone, you know where to go to do it. You know, an iPad, you know where to go to do it. Well, but you got to go in so many different directions to get to doing it. Like setting up a pair. I have a HomePod pair. You know, it's pretty tricky. The normal person might not have a good experience doing that. I'm sure that's probably what the case was. I bought them more so for, again, like Chuck, for music. I wanted to have good music experience, but the SLA, I don't find it to be that efficient. I think a lot of times it's going off all the time. You said this. I mean, plenty of times I've had. I'm doing recording shows here. It goes off for no reason. I didn't say anything, and I didn't say yes, lady. So yeah, I think they kind of missed the mark on that part of it. And that's where the HomePod Mini came into play. I think the HomePod Mini was a much more efficient device because they've set it where you can walk by it and say, do you want to play this on your HomePod Mini? Whereas the HomePod never had that capability. So I agree with you. I think that the software is kind of a fail in a lot of cases.
Yeah, go ahead, Callum.
Yeah, I think it's something we've alluded to on the show before, where the S-Lady software is very much built for a device with a screen, and then it's been adapted for the HomePod, and it's not been adapted very well at all. I think the way I'd sort of sum it up, it's a very poor smart speaker, but a very good speaker, if that makes sense. So the sound quality from it is absolutely outstanding, As a smart speaker that you'd use every day to do the things you could do on an A-Lady or any other devices, it's just not as good.
And to be fair,
it's more expensive as well. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. To be fair, I have three of them and I love them. Like I still prefer Siri over the others, and I use them, like I use all my three HomePods every day, like multiple times a day. I use them a lot. I'm just disappointed because it could have been so much better. There's so much more potential in it, and Apple has realized exactly nothing. Like it does the things it did 3 years ago. Like I can set a timer. Now I can set multiple timers. Okay, fine, awesome. It can play music. Cool. it can trigger HomeKit scenes. And everything else kind of is hit and miss. I mean, I ask it for the temperature outside and like half of the time it responds with something random or it doesn't respond at all. Or like I'm in the kitchen, standing in front of the one in the kitchen and the one in the bathroom reacts, stuff like that. Like it could have been so much better. The expectations were so much higher. Mm-hmm. And Apple has realized exactly nothing.
Patrice, I'm curious because I don't know this. Can the A lady, or for that matter, the G lady, can they read things other than your text? Can they read messages that come into Slack?
I don't know. Maybe Jeff can answer that since he has both.
Right. I have
no. But there are integrations that let you do things. And I haven't bothered to set them up to see how well they work because I just didn't feel comfortable hooking my Google account into Slack.
Yeah. Mm. And that might be a case where, I mean, where Amazon or Google have it, Google with Android, maybe not, but like Amazon might have it harder because they can't access all that information. They don't have access to the notifications, but Apple could have. The notifications on my phone. And the most annoying thing, to be honest, has always been like I ask it to do something and it tells me, oh, you need to unlock your iPhone first. I'm like, okay, if I have to do that, I can just do it on my phone. I don't need the HomePod anymore.
Right. I ask only because whenever the discussion of Gia, and this doesn't just apply to the HomePod, but to anything, whenever you say, well, it could have had so many more features. And then the next question should be, what features? You brought one up, so that's good. But on the other hand, I don't hear that the competition, at least that we know of, can do it. So, you know, I would throw it back to everybody. What features did you all want to see that you're disappointed that you didn't see?
I think.
Go ahead, Cal.
I think a feature that I've heard a lot of people talk about, and again, I have a lot of A ladies. I don't have any S ladies, if that makes sense. And when you ask a question on S lady, you tend to get, here's what I found on the internet. Whereas with A lady, you tend to get an answer. And that for me is a big difference that I've heard a lot of people come up with because, and it goes back to what I said earlier, where S lady's built for a screen. A lady's built for a smart speaker. And I think that's where the huge sort of difference comes in, you know, and another point I'd raise as well isn't necessarily with functionality, but ease of use. I've probably got four or five different Amazon speakers and screens and whatnot around the house, and the ease of use to get those set up and the way they work with one another is absolutely brilliant. And I've heard a lot of people, much like, you know, Dave's alluded to, where it's, you know, if you want to get them in a pair, it's really tricky and really difficult. So those are the two things that I'd kind of bring to that, really. Certainly the way the software is made lets it down, definitely.
Yeah. There are some things that work really well, like texting with it works really well. I use it, like, I mean, CarPlay, the same thing. Like, it works really well. I use the HomePod a lot. The only thing I have not been able to teach either my HomePod or my Apple Watch is the phone numbers that are in my address book for some reason don't work. Like, I have certain contacts where it always reads out the phone number. And the person is in the contact. I can tell Siri, hey, text this and this person, and she will understand it. So, like, there are so many small glitches and so many things where you just see that nobody has paid attention to it, really.
I'll also add, you know, I also have a Sonos Move, and Sonos, of course, makes some great speakers, and they're really on the focus of, you know, AV, you know, audio and video for sound. the interface on the Sonos Move, the app that they have is just phenomenal. I mean, you can link the app to any music service you want. I mean, I go look at my app, I must have 15 things linked to it, including Apple Music. It's just really nice how I'm able to use that app, and it was a very easy, simple way to set it up. And of course, the Move also has the capabilities of it being portable. It has a battery, so it's rechargeable, so it can go not only over the network as a wireless device through AirPlay. It also can be a Bluetooth device, so you can switch between the two. So you take it with you, you switch to Bluetooth. Now you have a standalone speaker. And that was the other disadvantage with the HomePod, is the fact that you had to have it plugged in. Same thing with the HomePod Mini. I don't know if Apple was looking at something like that in the future, to have something like that as the ability for portability. Not everybody wants to bring their music with them. But I tell you, it's nice to have that with us. I mean, I sat around a bonfire last weekend at our lake house because we had some good weather, and it was great. I was able to bring my iPad out, and I had it up hooked up to the Sonos Move, and we had, some great quality music to listen to while we were sitting outside. So that was the other kind of disadvantage that HomePod doesn't have.
But David, I hear, I've heard a lot of people talking about the Sonos Move, and I have plenty of Sonos devices around here, and I love them. So this is not a slam against Sonos. It's fascinating to me to hear everybody say, "Oh, the Sonos Move is great," and the price is $399.
Yeah,
and that's more than the HomePod was, and yet it seems that the portability suddenly is worth $100 to $150 more to some people. Along with some of the other features you've mentioned, but right. That seems to be one of the big knocks on the HomePod was, oh my God, the price was too much. And yet the alternatives people talk about are as much or more than the HomePod. So I feel like there's a bit of hypocrisy going on there in some areas.
I mean, balancing those two differences, the portability and the Bluetooth capabilities versus what the HomePod does. I think you could find that does have a bit of value, and people want to be able to go both ways. And you could buy two Sonos Moves that would cost you $700 if you wanted two of them and make them a pair as well. But I don't think I would go that far. Disclaimer, I did get it as a gift for free through my work anniversary. So I that's the only reason why I have it. So I can fully attest to what the product does. So it is, yes, I agree. It's expensive, and the HomePod was too. I mean, and they were dropping the price too as it started. It went from $349 to $299, and during holiday times, you were able to find it as low as $199. So prices were starting to fluctuate, and Sonos did the same thing with the Move. They did a bit of a break during holiday times, but it's up there in price. I agree, and I agree with you, Chuck, Is there a value with the fact of it being portable and being and having a battery? Really got to balance that out.
I think with that as well, an issue may be with the HomePod, and I completely agree with you as well, Chuck. An issue may be with it is it kind of sits in between the two, whereas there may be, and I'm not an audiophile, so I don't really know how sort of good it is up there with the kind of top speakers, but it sits in between the two. It's not purely a listening device, and it's not a very good smart speaker. So people judge it based on Amazon products and go, yeah, but you can get a top-end Amazon product for X and the HomePod's this much. And then people judge it on Sonos equipment, where they can go, it's more expensive and it's not as good a speaker and doesn't necessarily give as much functionality. But I think it's a bit of a tough sell for Apple, because I think, especially with the limitations it's got with its software, it's always going to struggle, and it's always going to have that bit of a black mark against it, where it's going to get criticized heavily because it's in a little bit of a no man's land for me.
I also forgot to mention that the Sonos Move does have a built-in Amazon Echo too. So it is a smart speaker as well. Not that anybody's, not everybody is excited about A-Lady when it comes to that, but so Sonos really packed a lot of stuff into this device to justify the little difference in price. But again, you're right. Yeah, it just really, it's hard to really say with the HomePod.
So what you're saying, David, is that you took it with you to the lake house, so Amazon could hear everything that you're doing at the lake house.
But the good thing is there is a mute button on it, so I can turn it off. So,
sure, there is. Sure,
okay, there is. I'll pull over here and show you here. It's right here next to me. It's right there. There's a mic button here. I can push it.
Oh, I don't doubt there's a mic button there. But
no, I tell it to shut up.
You know what? I think Apple really shot themselves in the foot with the HomePod launch, and they unintentionally doomed the product before it even rolled out. And what I mean by that is they presented HomePod as this amazing speaker, and they presented it as like a keystone part of your home entertainment system. But when they released it, they did the same thing that they've done with other products, where they release it, but it doesn't have all the functionality, and then you get software updates and it fixes that. This is a product where they could not release it without all the functionality, and yet they did. So what I mean by that is if you wanted to get a pair of HomePods and use them as your stereo audio system for your home theater, you could link that up to your Apple TV. But it was this kind of obtuse process where if you did something with the HomePods after you were done watching Apple TV or watching content on your Apple TV, then the link to the Apple TV device had to be reset. And so if you had to go in and reconnect your HomePods every time you wanted to watch TV, that was a problem. And there were other things like people really wanted to have HomePods on their desk, but they couldn't use them with their Mac. They couldn't do the whole the whole stereo pair thing and all that. Now, these are things that were ultimately addressed, but in many cases, these are things that, like the Mac support, the proper Mac support, that's happening 4 years after the HomePod came out. Yeah. Fixing the audio connection with Apple TV, that rolled out, 3 years after after HomePod was released?
Yeah.
And there are other places where that key support that really needed to be there on day one just wasn't. And I think that turned a lot of people off, especially initially at $350 and then later on still at $299.
Software killed it. Definitely.
Yeah. Software's a big key here.
Yeah, which is really, really disappointing. So, yeah. Well, there we go. So HomePod, it's gone, but it's not going to stop working. It'll continue to function for a long time, and we may at some point see some things that it can't do because they're features of newer products. You know, like maybe they do some software update that works only with a HomePod Mini, but not with a HomePod, or they might change some protocol somewhere along the way where a feature on a HomePod just doesn't work anymore, but the HomePod still overall works. But I think we have a long time before HomePod is nothing more than a giant paperweight.
Apple's track record with that stuff, it's, you know, look at iPhones, they last a long time. So I don't think it's just going to just disappear immediately.
I realized the other day, you can take an original iPod, you know, the very original click wheel iPod. Mm-hmm. And as long as you get the right adapters to come off the old FireWire connector, you can plug it into a Mac today, a USB-C Mac, and it will mount. And it will talk to music, and you can still use it exactly as you did the day that it came out. So, yep. I mean, that's some crazy level support right there.
Sure is.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, you bring up an interesting point. And I'm just looking here, I'm doing a little research here. The Sonos Play 5 is the newest one. It says it's shipping, I think, April something.
Yeah,
and that's a $499 speaker. Now, this is a little bit apples to oranges because of, you know, what all it does. But the previous versions of the 5, I think the Play 5, this is just, what do they call this? This is just called the Sonos 5. The Play 5 was allegedly the one that was in competition with with HomePod. And that was still more expensive. And when you were there talking, it's like, okay, what if I got an email from Apple yesterday or tomorrow that says, sorry, the S-Lady will no longer work with your HomePod. Okay, I'd be a little disappointed, but I've still got a great speaker. And as long as they maintain that capability, I'll be one that is perfectly happy with it. You know, now would I go back and buy another one just to have that capability? Not without some guarantees that that particular feature is going to continue to work. But as a speaker, I would still be happy with it. So yeah, if you're out there buying up HomePods that are still there, you know, I don't think that you have a bad, I don't think you're spending money unwisely.
No. Yeah. And the Sonos 5, is a little higher price. It's $499 for one speaker. So if you want a pair, it's $1,000 of speakers you had to pay for that. And then also, Sonos just also went into even more deep into the portable market with the Sonos Roam is about to come out from $169. So I have this feeling that Sonos is going to sell those like crazy. I'm curious to hear the sound on those. So.
You know, at that price point, it would be tempting for me to get a Sonos product. I never got Sonos products. Let me use correct words. I never purchased a Sonos product because initially, at the price point and at the size of my place, it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And then later on, when I thought, okay, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have speakers at opposite ends of my place because I had moved, and to be able to have synchronized audio, and I had a couple Echo Dots, so I just put external speakers on them, and that worked fine. And then at that point, I couldn't justify investing in Sonos, and now I have a HomePod and a HomePod Mini. Still can't justify investing in Sonos, but at $169 to have a single Sonos speaker, even though I wouldn't be using it, for as part of a whole home audio system, that would be, I could see getting into Sonos that way.
Well, I felt the same way about Sonos. I mean, it's just a little too overly priced for me for what I needed. I had the HomePods, so I just, like I said, I've been getting a gift, I never complained. So, but the other thing too is, with Apple Music, I actually can AirPlay all three speakers, so I really have some really true sound here. I got the two HomePods plus the Sonos Move, and boy, I get some pretty insane sounds from that. So
that's awesome.
And Dave, what you said about the Sonos Roam is it really interesting to me, because that is roughly that $150 difference we talked about for a portable speaker. Right. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that I'm anxious to carry a $400 speaker out around water or anything, you know, or someplace it could get lifted. I'm a lot more comfortable carrying a $150 speaker out if I really want great sound. And if I want medium level sound, then there are a lot of less expensive options.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as we're talking about discontinued Apple products, hey, how about that iMac Pro? I have surprise and not surprise about that on a personal level. Not surprise because I always saw the iMac Pro as an interim product that Apple really needed to release because the Mac Pro available at the time was so old and people really were clamoring for a new Pro machine, and the new Mac Pros hadn't come out yet. So Apple needed something to fill that gap, and they gave us the iMac Pro. So I felt like that computer's days were numbered from its initial launch day. The surprise part for me is that, hey, we have two Apple products that the company officially canceled and announced within like a week and a half. And
it's unusual.
Yeah. And that, so that was kind of weird. Yeah. But yeah, so no iMac Pro. What do you think of that?
I'm not surprised. I mean, the iMac Pro was very, very, very expensive, and it was a lot of high-end users were purchasing, you know, throwing $6,000 for the high-end. Even Mueller made in the chat room saying, yeah, it's much slower than the M1 Mac. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, obviously Apple's looking towards the future with the M1s, and they hadn't even made the decision yet about the iMac. So it just didn't make sense to fit in the product line that they had as a Pro, where the M1 is probably going to outperform it. Even if they were to come up with an iMac Pro, what is going to make it so Pro with the M1 when the M1 is already a high-end processor? Obviously, you expect that Apple's going to probably come up with some newer processors by the time the iMacs come out, as well as the later MacBook Pros. So it makes total sense. I mean, let the Mac Pro be its own thing. You know, the pros, if they really want to get intent into that, you know, go with Mac Pro. You're going to spend upwards of $6,000 to $10,000 for that machine. Mm-hmm. But they were also talking about rumor that there was going to potentially be a lower end Mac Pro. So maybe that's where their thought was, is, you know, go with that, and then of course spend another $5,000 for the display, the XDR display. But I'm not at all surprised. I think this was a smart decision on their part with this.
I think the iMac Pro is a device, or like a Mac from a different time, from a different thinking. Because remember when they released it, it was basically, I think at that point, or well, right before that point, Apple's thinking had been, okay, the iMac, the Mac Pro is going to disappear, kind of, because they hadn't really felt the need for it anymore. Yeah. So the iMac Pro would replace it, and it would be what the Pro machine is, basically. And they realized while working on that, that people wanted more. I want to almost say disappointment of the Mac Pro of that time. The what was it, 2013, I think, Mac Pro?
Yeah, the trash can.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment. I mean, it's an amazing machine, and I know people loved it, but it kind of didn't do what most people wanted, which was having extensibility, having flexibility. Mm-hmm. And so Apple realized that the iMac Pro would not solve that either, because it's also not extensible and not what people wanted. So they kind of realized that they had to go back to the drawing board. And that's what they did, that famous Apple event where they said, okay, hey, we have this iMac Pro coming. And at that point, I mean, they had like, they didn't just decide, oh, we're going to do an iMac Pro, and then 6 months later they have it. Like, this had been in the works for quite a while. But they realized that was kind of a stopgap now. Like, instead of being the Pro Mac that you could buy, it was kind of a stopgap thing. I don't think the M1 has anything to do with it, because they could still do it. They could still have a higher end M1 with better cooling that whatever does more if they wanted to. I think they could figure that out. I think it's more that there's really no need for it anymore. They can pull down the Mac Pro a little bit if they want to go down in price a little bit, because it is flexible enough to do that. And basically serve that need. And there's no need for for another device like that.
And I'm not sure. I think, Patrice, you're onto something there. I don't think that either the trash can Mac or the iMac Pro really. People wanted, at that point, people were looking to replace their Pro with something they'd had. And that is something that they could slide, you know, ridiculous amounts of storage in. Mm-hmm. And they really weren't anxious to do the external storage through Thunderbolt. And now I think, I don't know, I think that's changed. I mean, I don't know that there's anybody out there that wants a little mini tower that they can slide drives in and out, especially since hard drives are more mass storage in the truest sense, and SSDs are the way you want to go if you want speed. So I think you're right. I think it was an interesting transition period we were making. And let's not forget the Fusion Drive. You know, the Fusion Drive was something that Apple tried as a compromise between the two, as people wanted more speed, but they also wanted more storage. And I'm sitting in front of a Fusion Drive equipped iMac right now, and it runs fine. It does great. It's not as fast as my SSDs, equipped MacBook Pros, but it's fine for what I use it for.
Yeah, the absolute bane of my life, Fusion Drives.
they're kind of a stopgap in a sense. Like the SSDs were too expensive and too small to do mass storage. So yeah, you had to do something else, but that time is over too. And to Muller said in the chat, the M1 has everything to do with it because it's killing it. The Mac Mini M1 is killing it. That's not the point. The point is, if Apple wanted to do an iMac Pro with a whatever M1X or whatever the new chip is, they totally could. They could create a machine that is insanely powerful, and people would want it, and people would find a need for it. Like as always with computing power, if it's available, someone will find a use for it. So I don't think it is really the M1 is the reason to kill it. It's simply that there is no need in the market for this particular machine. For the power, yes, but that's what the Mac Pro does.
Yeah, and if we're right in our assumption that Apple released the iMac Pro as a stopgap device, then they had an out planned for this before we even knew about the computer. And here it is. So, yeah. And also, if sales drop below a certain point, then it doesn't make sense for Apple to continue making the device. Yeah. So they probably had a projected out date, and they expected that sales would have dropped low enough by that out date to get rid of it. And so either that happened when they expected or not, but either way, sales are low enough and they were planning to get rid of it, and now it's gone.
Yeah. And I mean, when they released it, it might have been a stopgap, or they might have had a sense that it would be a stopgap, but that's not why it existed. They had created it way before that. So it was intended to be a different device than it ended up being. And I'm pretty sure when they talked about it, when was that, 2015, 16, something like that? I'm pretty sure they already knew about what would end up being the M1. They might have not known exactly when it would be released, whether it's like 2019, 2020, 2021. That might have been too far in the future, but they knew that the M1 was coming and that they would do something.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
And this one thing this definitely does is it silences all those people who whine about the fact that Apple continues to sell older technology. You know, we just, okay, we take it off the books because you've got the M1 iMacs, Mac Minis, you've got the M1 MacBooks. You know, that's probably going to fill in a lot of that gap if people want that. And now we just take the other one off the books so that we don't get criticized for it.
Yeah. And they're doing it before they release the iMac. So it's not, the discussion is not about, oh, they dropped the iMac Pro. The discussion is about, look what this new amazing iMac can do.
That's true. Absolutely. And we won't have the comparison where people are saying, holy crap, how can Apple sell what they're calling a pro level iMac that doesn't even do nearly as much as this new entry level M series iMac?
Yeah, exactly. Because right now, I think from what I've heard, the top of the line iMac Pro is barely inching ahead, like in certain tests, inching ahead of the M1s. So,
yeah. So it's days were numbered.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yep.
And apparently Apple is spring cleaning. They're just throwing everything out.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear what product they decide to kill next week. Are we taking any bets?
Apple TV?
Oh, I hope not.
Me neither, no. But it's possible.
I would hate that. I do not want a smart TV, and I know the next time I buy a television, it'll have to be a smart TV because that's just what they all are.
There's nothing else on Apple.
But I don't want to put it on my network. I mean, smart TVs are horrible interfaces, but they're also ridiculous security vector issues.
Depends on the TV.
Samsung.
Okay. Which TVs are not security threats?
Exactly. The Vizios have been pretty good so far.
They get updated frequently.
They get updated pretty frequently. LG with webOS is okay. I mean, if you really care, you can always isolate them in your network. That's what most people do.
I still don't want a smart
TV. Who knows how to do it?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Not
your common consumer is going to know how to do that.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if you do everything to lock your TV down, and if it's not on a separate network from all your other devices, I mean, some of these TVs, there are drive-by hacks you can do with a remote control where you can take over control of someone's television outside their house. Mm-hmm. And then you have network access.
Yep. Sometimes over Bluetooth.
My main Samsung, I completely disconnected it from the network, and it's not even connected. I removed all the apps. I have Apple TV and I have a Fire Cube on the TV as well. So I got plenty of places to get my media. And then my cable service with Comcast X1 has it as well. So I think I'm fine.
So David, you're bringing in all your information through Wi-Fi? Is that what you're saying?
As far as the TV goes, or smart TV? No, I've got it completely. I've disconnected the smart TV portion of the TV from my network, and I'm using Apple TV as an interface. I have an Amazon Fire Cube as for the Fire TV, and then Comcast has its X1 product that I get all my content from there.
Right, but if you're using the Fire Cube or the Apple TV, you still are having to connect somehow to the internet.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I just the TV itself, the smart TV portion of the TV.
Okay.
Those other two devices. Yeah, of course. Yes. Those are on Wi-Fi. Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. I just want to be sure I understood.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I'm going to be confusing there.
The Apple Watch 3 is going to cop it next anyway, I reckon. It's getting on a bit now.
It's getting lean.
I mean, that is kind of expected. Whenever they release the next Apple Watch, just this one.
Yeah, that's when it'll happen. Mm-hmm. If the Series 7, if they call it that, comes out, I'm sure the 3 will disappear.
That seems like a safe bet. All right. So then we have rumors about new iPad Pro coming out. And of course, we had the rumors that Apple is going to have a media event on March 23rd. That didn't happen, or isn't happening. Sorry, I had to look at the calendar to see what the date is today, because time has become completely meaningless over the past year. It is absolutely arbitrary. So yes, based on assuming a linear time frame, the event has not happened and is not going to happen in March. On a side note for that, if you're saying, oh, Apple had to delay their event. No, it's only delayed if Apple announces it and then changes the date. Otherwise, it's just people saying, oh yeah, I think this is when it's going to happen. And then deciding that a rumor is the same thing as fact. And that is absolutely not what's happened here. There was just a rumor, and the rumor didn't pan out. But the rumor about the new iPad Pro, I mean, the time frame seems reasonable that it would come out sometime this spring. And some of the features in it are kind of interesting. Mini LED display. That sounds really kind of cool. Unless you have bad eyesight, in which case you might not be able to tell the difference, but still, that could be a really nice improvement. And another upgrade that they're talking about for this new iPad Pro. Instead of USB-C, where it's actually USB over the connector, it'll be Thunderbolt over the USB-C port, like you have on Macs. Right. Which, I mean, that would be really cool. And to me, excuse me, the holy grail of my Apple computing setup is I have a powerful Mac on my desk, like a really powerful Mac Mini, and that just stays on my desk. And then everything that I do when I'm not at my desk, I do on an iPad Pro. This would get me a lot closer to being able to do that.
Yeah. Now, a couple things I like to talk about is the processing. That they did mention it in the article about the A14X processor is quote unquote on par to the M1. Well, if I remember correctly, that Mac Mini that was released to the developers was an A14 processor that they were testing before the M1 actually came out. And so it leads me to believe, okay, yeah, so the processor is just going to be just a smidge up. And that's what compelled me not to upgrade when I saw the 2018 iPad Pro, because the 2020 model, just I had no compelling reason to upgrade to it. If this is going to be a big jump, yeah, I might be thinking about it. And the other thing is with the LED display, it looks like they're saying that it's going to only be on the 12.9 inch screen. You know, I have an 11 inch screen, so so that is in the justification. But the Thunderbolt connector, I'm that would be probably my selling point. Not a big thing with the camera. I mean, they put the LiDAR camera in the 2020 model. I don't know how much improvement they can make with that as far as that goes. But I think that's where things are going to go. So, but that would probably compel me to think about the upgrade because of that Thunderbolt connector integration.
Yeah, that. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, no, I think it's really interesting that a lot of people, and apparently you included, are starting to move toward a more iPad-centric workflow.
Yeah,
and I don't see that for me, but that's okay because we do different things, or at least, you know, we don't have as much of an overlap. But definitely, you know, I will confess though, while my workflows couldn't become iPad centric, they are definitely becoming more iPad oriented. And
yeah, I am right now too.
Yeah, and if some of the capabilities of this new iPad are, if the rumors are accurate, and that's we just got burned by the rumors of the event, you know. So if you take those as accurate, though, this just continues the trend.
I think it does. It does sort of sound about right as the next natural progression. And I think I always think back to when they released the last iPad Pro with the mouse and keyboard. The trackpad and keyboard you could get with it, you know, their sort of main tagline was your next MacBook or laptop isn't a laptop. So I think it definitely makes sense that they're looking to go down that route of almost sort of replacing a lot of people's MacBook Airs and whatnot going around and having people, as Jeff says, with main workstations and an iPad Pro to supplement it. So I think it definitely makes sense. I think having the Thunderbolt over the USB-C just kind of brings it closer towards that ecosystem and helps with the kind of compatibility with hard drives and, as it says in the article, monitors and all sorts of things like that. So it definitely makes sense as a natural progression for me. But I'm sort of with Chuck as well. I couldn't see myself going down the iPad route for a long time to come because of the nature of the work I do, but you can definitely see how an iPad can supplement what you do and really filter into the way you work. Definitely. I think these moves they're making only kind of reinforces that.
My iPad Pro, this will probably shock a lot of people. That's where I do video editing. And I have a 16 inch MacBook Pro with a 34-inch display right in front of me right now. And yet I found that I prefer to do video editing on my iPad Pro. It's weird where the iPad Pro is becoming my device of choice. Now for podcasting, which always happens here, that's one of the places where I have to use a Mac because the way everything has to come together and the software that I need to use, just doing that from an iPad would be a lot more difficult. But you know, that's one of those places where when I reach my what is currently my idea of my ideal computing setup, there'd still be a Mac sitting on my desk for a lot of those types of functions. And I am using the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Yeah. So this could be a really compelling upgrade for me, assuming all of these features are legit. Yeah. All right. And Patrice, you're giving me this, which tells me
I don't
me
know. You're assuming sure. It's all correct. I don't know.
Yeah, it's well.
We will see.
I know that there's a lot of assumptions happening right here, we'll see. I haven't been feeling like I'm missing out because my iPad Pro doesn't have LiDAR. So
mine either.
Yeah, and it's incredibly powerful and it's fast and it has great battery life. So for me to upgrade my iPad Pro, it needs to be significant, which is what happened last time. You know, we went from the Lightning iPad Pro to the USB-C iPad Pro, and there were a lot of improvements and changes. You know, we even got the new Apple Pencil with that. That's when it was compelling for me to upgrade. So we'll see. Yeah. Wow. We just fly through shows.
Yes, we do.
Wow. Hey, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts. And that is absolutely awesome because that means we're actually here. Thanks to TSO Hosts, we have the bandwidth we need to be able to bring shows to you. We have the storage we need to be able to leave them there so you can go back and relive your favorite moments over and over again. And I have to say, you know, when Callum's on the show, how can you not want to relive the moments over and over again? Seriously.
Living on repeat, folks, definitely.
See, that's what I'm saying right there. Yeah, so what TSO Host is asking of us is a little bit of love and a little bit of validation. And we live in a world, and especially a time right now, where that's a really nice thing. It makes everyone feel good. So give TSO Host a little love. I mean, if you have a website you need to host, a domain you need to buy, give them a shot. They'll hook you up. What they're asking of us right now, though, is to take to social media and give them a shout out there and let them know that we appreciate that they're here for us and that they help make sure that British Tech Network can bring shows to you every single week. So do it. Head on over to your favorite social media and give TSO Host some love there. Also, Iman Max is one of our supporters, and thank you to the awesome team at Iman Max for that. They will fix any of your Apple gear, except for the stuff with fabric on it, which just became a little bit less of an issue for Callum because the iPad Pro has been canceled.
HomePod.
What did I just say?
The iPad Pro.
iPad Pro has been canceled.
iPad Pro is just HomePod.
Are you telling me there's cloth on iPad? Have I been fixing iPads for all this time with cloth on?
Cal. I hate to be the one to bring this. Yeah, well, that's okay. Another thing to talk to your therapist about.
There's a long list.
Anyhow, HomePod. No, I'm in Max. They fix your stuff. they fix it well, and they fix it intelligently. And by that, I mean, instead of just ripping the guts out, replacing everything because something's not working right, they figure out what's actually going on. And when I say they, I actually mean Cal. He will go in and figure out what's wrong, and he will replace the components that that aren't working right. So for example, let's say you have an iMac where the where one of the capacitors is shot, and now it just doesn't boot right. Well, Cal can figure that out, and he can replace that capacitor for you. And I haven't actually asked Cal if that's something he can really do, because I don't need to ask. I know he can do that. If you okay, I'll ask you. Can you identify a popped cap?
That's the easy bit. A popped cap's like, I honestly, if I'm fixing motherboards that have just got popped caps, that's like, that's heaven. Because you just put a bit of free spray on, you heat it up, and well, you plug it in, it heats up, you take it off, and you fixed it. It's great. It's other stuff, more complicated stuff, I don't like. But pop caps are lovely.
Now see, they're my favorite. He just described replacing a dead capacitor like it's nothing, and for most of us, it's a lot more than nothing. And he's like,
pfft. Replace the whole motherboard.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Ends up in a landfill.
And another thing that iMinMax does is sell used equipment. So if you're looking for a good deal on a Mac or an iPad, whatever, they've got you covered. Cal, do you have a device of the week for us?
I have a category of the week I'm going to go with. So we've got quite a lot of MacBook Airs and 12-inch MacBooks as well. I'm just going to kind of bundle them all into one. They're kind of very similar anyway. We've got about five or six of those at the minute, ranging from about £500 going up to about £800, all different specs. Go onto our website. Obviously, you get your 5% off as well with BTN. Have a look what we've got and see if there's anything you want and let us know. Equally as well, something else I'd like to mention, if there is stuff on the website you want and and isn't there, ask us and we can normally find it for you. And we do sell new products as well and do leasing. So there's lots of different options you can get from us also. So
awesome. And we're running a contest right now, a giveaway. And the reason we are still running this is because Ewan isn't here to stop me. So I have the power. Ewan will give things away. And what he's going to give away is an iMinMax mug and a couple iMinMax Qi chargers, wireless chargers, like for your iPhone. And so what you need to do to be able to get your name into the pool to potentially win one of these is find the names of all four people that work at iMinMax. Now, we've already given you one of those names simply by having Cal here with us today. So you have Callum. Now you only need to find three more names. And I think at some point today we mentioned Joe as well. So now you only need to find two more names. And once you found those names, put all four of them into an email, send it to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And then at some point down the road, when Ewan is finally able to tell me stop, he will pick the names out and let you know what you have won. So all four names, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And you can find all four of the names in our Christmas show where that was just a fun show anyhow. So totally worth watching for that. And if you spend some time exploring the iMinMax website, where you're going to see all the amazing things that they do and sell, you'll be able to find the names there too. So, hey, thank you TSO hosts. And thank you iMinMax for being our sponsors. You rock. And it is now time for the cool thing. So let's start off with Callum. What do you have for us today?
You threw me off. I don't normally go first. Hold on. I've got it.
That's good, because what I was going to do was set you up for failure by saying, let's go to someone else first. Callum, what do you have?
Actually talking about iPads in the show today, it was Mother's Day in the UK recently. I don't know about anywhere else. We as a family chipped in and we brought my mum a new iPad. She's been after one for a while. I just basically wanted to sing its praises. Obviously it's just a very basic one at 329, but it's really, really good. It's a really good iPad. I can't really say much more than that. I know it's probably not the most inspiring thing to say about it, but it's got Apple Pencil support. The display is really, really, really good on it. Obviously it's got Touch ID rather than Face ID, but that's not a huge issue anyway. It just works really well. Had it for about a week now. It's just really good. And for 329, if you're looking for an iPad, you really, really can't go wrong. Probably not the best things to say about it, but it's just really good. And it's £329 and it will last you 5 years. And it's a really good iPad. So buy it.
And if the battery ever wears out in it, you can just take care of that for your mom. No problem.
Absolutely. There you go. Problem solved.
Cool. That is a good iPad. Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I'm going to continue my thing and pick another TV show. This one is a little bit older, like not that much, like a couple of years, I think. Don't even remember. 2016, it says. Okay. It's Designated Survivor. If you've seen like a Kiefer Sutherland movie or a TV show, like 24, it's kind of it. It's kind of the thing. Like, world explodes and he has to save it, kind of. This one is different. He's not like the kick-ass secret agent or something. He's a president, or becomes a president in the first. I'm not giving anything away because of the trailer. He's a designated survivor. Government dies. He becomes president. There's a lot more going on. There's Maggie Q in it as an FBI agent. There's like conspiracies and terrorism and like politics and a little bit of everything. But it's a really great show, wrapped up, I want to say, last year at some point, the final season. So you can binge watch it now without feeling guilty about it and thinking there will be more. It's done. It was a good show. It was really interesting. Cal Penn, some of you might know, is in there, and he was the political consultant and I think also a writer for the show. So there's a lot of, let's say, closer at least to real stuff in there. And it's just, as I said, it's a fun show, something nice to watch. It's on Netflix all around the world, so you should be able to get it.
Awesome. I haven't started watching it yet, but now knowing that the whole series is wrapped up, mm-hmm. I'll put it on my list. I prefer, when I can, to have complete shows so that I don't feel like I'm going to get to a point where they canceled the series and I've been left hanging. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that can still happen. And I don't, honestly, I think, no, actually they knew that it would get canceled, so they had some chance to wrap some things up. But yeah, it can still happen.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll add it to my list now. All right, Dave, what do you have for us?
Yes. I have a cool new thing that came out from Western Digital, also known as SanDisk. This is the SanDisk iExpand flash drive Lux. And this is new in the sense that they updated this from when they originally came out with these devices that just had a Lightning connector and a USB-A connector. But now this is a expand that's got the USB-C type devices as well as the Lightning connector on there. And it's a flash drive. So it comes in a number of different sizes, from 64 gigabytes all the way up to 256 gigabytes. And it's seamless. I like the fact that you can move it between your iPhone, if you want to back up all your photos on this flash drive, and then bring it over to your Mac with the USB-C to back it up, or you can use the USB-C to plug it into your iPad Pro and be able to transfer between the two as well. So simple, easy interface to have that. They came out with these in the past. I think I have an older one that had the little cord that sprung across from it that had just a lightning connector on it. And I might even had an SD card reader if I remember correctly. But simple device, not too terribly expensive. Starts at around $50, $45 US, all the way up to $89.99 US. Yeah, I think it was a cool device. It's got the swivel mount, so it's easy to swivel between the two connectors.
Awesome. That's really cool. And I didn't think I needed another flash drive, but now I kind of think I need another flash drive.
I'm tempted, but then I go look in my little pouch and I have 8 USB-C drives that I'm crazy and always have to have way too much storage.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Yep. Yes. Chuck, what do you have for us today?
Last week, I showed you a little sorter that I use to store some of my smaller hard drive, my bus-powered hard drives in. We're not moving around a lot now, but if and when you do, and we will get back to it at some point, you need a way to protect those drives if you're taking them with them, whether it's, you know, just between home and office or on vacation or whatever. So I'm going to recommend this Amazon Basics external hard drive portable carrying case. I have one right here, and it's, you know, it's basic. It's your basic carrying case that is big enough for one of the 2.5 inch SSDs or hard drives, depending on what you have, how old your stuff is. Don't misunderstand. It's not something that's you're going to drive a car over and it's going to protect the hard drive. But for keeping things organized, and I've been kind of sloppy in the past about, just unplugging the drive and throwing it in my backpack and then pulling it out, and the connectors get a little bent and then they get a little more bent and a little more bent, and pretty soon I have a problem. So this is a $10 item. It's cheap. And so you can buy a, somebody else apparently has one too.
And in the chat room, Mueller's saying he has one as well.
Okay, so there you go. So, you know, we have 3 endorsements here. They also, for a couple bucks more, they make a larger one that would fit, you know, small cameras, phones. So Amazon does a really nice job with these. And when I look at some of the other, you know, dedicated people that do cases for their own hard drives, guess what? You know, they're just so overpriced. So that's why I go with the Amazon Basics. And I can tell you it's made sure my drives have a lot longer life and don't get abused quite the way I was abusing them before.
I clicked your link and it shows I purchased this on August 30th, 2014. So I've had it quite a while.
Yep, wow. There you go.
Okay. So now we know they hold up well.
Yeah, all they right.
I guess I'm spending $10. Thanks, good. Chuck.
Thank you for stimulating the economy.
I've just spent £8 on one. So there you go.
Cal, we keep costing you money each week. Sorry about that.
No, it's there's no we, it's just you, Chuck. Every week it's a little gadget that you didn't know you needed, and you really do need them all of them. So yeah, there we go.
All right. So my cool thing is free. It's an app for iPhone and iPad, and it's called Time Buddy. And a lot of people won't notice because, you know, they're not involved in the behind the scenes stuff for these shows. But for those of you that are, I was consistently ready this week for the shows, for the big show and the Mac show. So I didn't screw up the times. Why is that? It's because I found this app, Time Buddy. And what it does is it lets you have multiple time zones all stacked up on top of each other in like a little slider graph. And so you can see what time it is anywhere. So I just put the slider for when the show's supposed to start London time. And I had added Boulder to my list of time zones, and I could look and see, okay, it says 7 o'clock here. So that's 1 o'clock here. And now I've got this right here on my iPhone right in front of me. And I know what time I need to show up for a show. And there are in-app purchases. I have absolutely no idea what they are because I have not found anything in this app that I need to pay for. Everything that I needed to do is part of the free bit. So there you go. Yes. Time Buddy. It's super easy to use. And I love just that little graphic view of, that linear view of times, and it's awesome. So there you go. Time Buddy. All right. And Mueller is now saying that there's a time app in SetApp. And yes, I believe there is. And I believe I have it on my Mac. And here's the problem I have with SetApp. And what a wonderful problem to have. It has so many apps that do so many things that I need that it's easy to start forgetting which apps that I have. And when I need to do something again, I'll go into a search and find there's this great app on SetApp and then find out that I've actually already installed it. So,
it's a luxury problem.
It's totally a luxury problem. And WindWriter says he's been using TimeBuddy for years as well. So, all right, there you go. Another endorsement. Cal, where can people find you?
You can find us and everything we do at imandmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at imandmax as well. If you have any problems, need any questions answering, anything like that, reach out to you can on me. You can reach out to me on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. You can reach out to me in the Slack room. You can drop us an email at info@imandmax as well. We're more than happy to answer any questions and help as best we can.
Awesome.
Thanks for a great show as well.
Well, thank you. I mean, seriously, I had the easy part. I just had to move mattresses out of my office.
It sounded too easy.
Yeah. Well, Patrice, I have two questions for you. One is, where can people find you? And the other is, where can people find today's chat if they want to go back and get the links for all the articles we discussed and all of our cool things?
Well, let's start with where they can find me. Let's make it a little bit more interesting. You can find me every week here with Jeff and Chuck and usually David as well and Callum on the Mac Show every week. And on the Big Show as well, every Thursday, also with Jeff. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, and if you want to buy me a coffee and stuff like that, at thepatrice.com. Any way you want to spell it, it's going to work. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about food and food-related memories and just everything that goes with that. And if they want to find those links and all the other things, links and cool things and everything we've talked about, they can head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 19th of March, 2021, circa, 4 p.m. British time, whatever that is, your time, you have to figure out yourself.
Yeah, that's why we have Time Buddy.
You will find all the links.
Use the app.
That's why you have Time Buddy. Exactly. And yeah, then you will find all the links and never click any links that Mueller Biker has posted. It's just a good rule.
Yeah, that's an important life rule. And if you ever click a link, you learn an important life lesson. Patrice, thanks for being here. And thanks for having my back every single week. You are the bomb. Dave. Where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch of iOS at intouchofios.com. You also can find me on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck on doing where we as well as you, Jeff. But we have a great time on that show. I'm on Mac to the Future Go Live Cast with Guy, Cyril, and Warren Sklar. We have a lot of fun doing that. You find me here. I try to be here as many times as I can, unless work gets in the way. And you also can find me as I'm also the president of our suburban Chicago Apple users, Apple user group here in the States and on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me on DaveG65. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. As always, it's awesome to get to hang out with you.
Absolutely.
Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you can link to all our shows, audio and video. And on Tuesday nights, We do Mac Voices Live on Facebook and YouTube, and we'd love to have you join us in the chats where you can throw in your comments that we will either acknowledge or ignore, depending on what they are. And David and Jeff are pretty regular there. We have a lot of fun. We'd love to have you. You can also find me on pretty much all the socials as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks for having me, Jeff. Fun show.
Well, thanks for being here. It's a treat for me. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut, both places. Big show on Thursdays, Mac show on Fridays, very regularly on Mac Voices Live, occasionally on In Touch with iOS. And Dave, I have to say, every single time I say the show name correctly, I am so proud. All it took was the one time for me to screw it up. And this week I've been on In a Few Minutes on Mac OS Ken with Ken Ray. And that's been a lot of fun. We've talked about HomePod. We've talked about NFT. We have talked about AR and VR and more stuff as well. So go check that out. And hey, thank you to everyone for being here today. It's so much fun to get to do this show with all of you showing up and being here live with us. And for those of you that watch or listen to the recordings later, thank you as well. Even though you're not here live, I still love every single one of you. And I'm sure that by extension, Ewan does as well. And if I could, I would give each and every one of you a big hug for being here with us. And thanks to all of you, the whole panel, because every single one of you absolutely rock and you're just stellar. And it is so much fun to get to spend time with all of you every single week. And I feel like I look better and sound smarter simply because everything that all of you do will rub off on me. So thank you for that. And everyone have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you again next week for the big show on Thursday, the Mac show on Friday. And Ewan, you keep healing and working on feeling better, and we will continue to do our best to pretend like we're holding down the fort until you are back, and we miss you. So get well, and we'll see you soon. And thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Good show.
Nicely done, Jeff. Nicely done.
Great job.
Right, guys, I got to stick around, but. I'll-